When you started to realize that with that product and the potential and how to bring this great product to the Netherlands, what was your greatest and your biggest challenge?
I think the most difficult thing is in the first place to see whether there's a product market fit. And if it's there, then fully go for it. And you need to thrive to really want it. So the passion, and it's a beautiful word in Greece. It's called maraki. It embraces everything around passion. So it's really the perfect word for what you need. Don't think about the money, but think about the passion.
Community of Trust with Jean-Marc Noël, founder and CEO of Trusted Shops. Real stories and ideas on inspiration, leadership, and why trust is the key to success. Today's guest, Floris Reutz, CEO of Gazas.com.
Welcome to the Community of Trust, the podcast where successful online retailers share their real-world experiences and proven strategies to help you build a thriving e-commerce business. Well, I'm Jean-Marc Noël. I'm co-founder and CEO of Trusted Shops. And in this podcast, we go, you know, beyond theory to bring you real but practical insights and straight from Trusted Shops merchants who have successfully built trust and scaled their online business. And today, I'm thrilled because we're joined by Floris Reutz, a co-founder and CEO of Gazas.com. And Gazas is an incredible story that starts in Crete, I think. And well, today we'll dive into this family business story, where Floris will share with us exactly how they overcame all the challenges and to build a successful online business with high quality product. So, Floris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Floris, tell us, what are you doing exactly? What is exactly that online store, Gazas? What are you selling, and why is your brand so unique?
Yeah. So, amongst others, but I set up this company with my stepfather, Gazas Olive Oil. Which was, founded because back in the days when I was really young, 12 years old, I saw my stepfather in the kitchen with this green, fresh stuff where he was so proud about. And after a while, when I got a little bit older, I couldn't find this product in the Netherlands anywhere. And when I could find it in some crazy place, it mostly was very expensive. So while doing my studies at the University of Amsterdam, I was thinking, hey, how can this be that this product where they are so proud about is not accessible here in the Netherlands? And when it's here, it's so expensive. So this is how I came to the idea to bring that product where they were so proud about directly from there to the Netherlands without mixing it up, without fooling it around, without misleading any clients. And that's how Gazas actually started. We started bringing that product, that pure stuff, directly to the Netherlands.
And how did you do that the very first, in the very beginning? You know, what was the challenge? Because I can imagine, well, you're rooted in Crete, on the soil where all this, you know, all great product and olive is growing, and then you take that and move to the Netherlands. Well, that's not so easy. So how did you do that? What was the beginning?
It all started very small. So we were the family, my mom, my brother, my sister, we started filling up bottles.
You drove with the car.
Yeah. So my mom got married my stepfather when I was 16, I think, and we grew up with him when I was young. And we started at one point, we started bringing that olive oil from his family in our own bottles with our own etiquettes to the Netherlands. And we started giving it to our friends and family. And at one point we also started to sell it to shops in consignatie, we say. So they could put it there. And when it was sold properly, they paid us the money. So this is how it all started. We went shop by shop to check whether there was a product market fit. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that term back then.
No, exactly. It was just, what about our olive oil?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, are you cooking with olive oil all the day, probably?
He was all the time. And it was so beautiful. And then it came fresh from the factory and we tasted it. It was so green. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And this stuff, it was nowhere to find in the Netherlands, or wherever. So we started, hey, this healthy stuff, how it's produced there, there should be told a story. And the Greeks are not the people that can tell stories, because they live in the moment. They don't understand the reason for marketing and storytelling.
Okay, so, but I mean, hey, come on, the Greeks, they have, you know, they told one of the incredible story of whole mankind at the beginning. So actually, you should have been inspired, right?
Yeah. And that's also, at one point we thought, yeah, they founded democracy with Socrates, with Plato, with Aristoteles. With how can it be that they now don't care about telling this story to the people? They just used a plastic bottle, an old water bottle. They filled it up with olive oil.
Okay. And
they
said, so you had to come and tell them how to do that right.
Not to tell them, because they will never understand. Now, at the moment, they will not understand, because they are so pure. They live in the moment and they don't care about the nice bottle. Yeah. And okay, they are start caring a little bit more now. But we thought we can help them to tell their story.
Okay.
So we use their product, their beautiful product. We use their name. And we will bring it directly to the Netherlands, and we will help them to tell the story. That's what we did.
Now tell us, what was, when you started to realize that with that product and the potential and how to bring this great product to the Netherlands, what was your greatest and your biggest challenge at the beginning to start that? To at a point where you say, okay, now we are starting, you know, having a business, an online business maybe. So what? Tell us a little bit of the start.
And yeah, so I think the most difficult thing is, in the first place, to see whether there's a product market fit. And if it's there, then fully go for it. And you need to thrive to really want it. So the passion, and it's a beautiful word in Greece. It's called maraki. It's passion.
Maraki, passion.
Okay. So it's a beautiful word. Okay. It embraces everything around passion. So it's really the perfect word for what you need to start a business. Mm. If you ask me, so you need passion for what you're going to do. You don't think about the money, but think about the passion, because in the beginning, it will only cost you money. So this is the biggest challenge is the chicken will always, you need the chicken before the egg.
Yeah,
you need chicken to invest and first to be able to harvest later. I think this for olive oil is even more difficult, because olive oil is a really expensive product. Yeah. So you need to buy the olive oil in the first place, and then you need to invest in selling and market it. And then after a while, you will get paid for your olive oil. So olive oil is a really expensive product. So in my case, I have been struggling for the past 10 years financing my inventory, my sales, my marketing. Mm. And this needs a really long breath. So we noticed after selling it, giving it to people, letting them taste it, test the product, to test whether there was product market fit. So whether there was retention, whether there was referral, whether there was scarcity. That was the case, but still it was very difficult to finance all of this. So I think that has been the
financing part was really one of the biggest, and it continues to be probably.
Exactly.
Now tell us about, you started a successful online business with an online store, a website, and telling the story. Tell us about, how did you start that? What was your lessons there? Where you think, okay, this was really a good thing. Maybe some kind of the challenge you got or mistakes you made along the way.
Yeah, so telling the story was the thing that makes us unique. Mm-hmm. So telling the story by doing marketing online and doing sales is what makes us unique. So what this product needs as this market is the most falsified market in the world, olive oil market. Product needs a story behind it to explain the consumers why our product is a little bit more expensive than others. The reason behind it is that we don't mix around the olive oil. It's just the olive oil that we get from Crete, the best of the best from the farmer directly himself. We put it in our bottle without any mooching around, without mixing it, and we sell it directly to a consumer. It's more expensive than various other competitors, but we need to explain to people that you cannot compare that product with ours, because ours is fresh. Ours is the best of the best. Ours is a fair product, a fair family product. And our brand stands for that. And the whole marketing and the online business we did, what made us big, is what made us unique. And I say that, it differs us from our competitors.
From the competitor. Yeah. Now, very practically, how did you start? Did you start to program your website yourself? Did you hire an agency and said overnight, okay, we have to do something? How did you do that?
This is a beautiful story. Is that I actually studied finance at the university. So the question was whether I was going to study in going to the financial market or into the banking system. I was having interviews doing that, but I found out my passion was really with the olive oil. Back then we got the SCHOL certificate, so the biologic certificate. It was a big thing.
Okay.
We did our
brand award, basically a trust mark.
Yeah, and we got our brand identity done, really professional by a really nice marketing agency. That was a story on itself, how that became to life. Mm-hmm. Came to life, but we did that and we were ready to like really going professional. And then I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go into the financial world to teach myself financial stuff for 2-3 years and put the olive oil a little bit on the side, or will I go fully for the olive oil? And then after some internships at the corporate finance agency, I thought, okay, I'm not going to make presentations and try to sell somebody else's company. I will build my own company, because there is where I get all the energy from. I was unstoppable.
Meraki.
So back then I decided to not work for a bank or for one of the big four, but to work at this company that won the Unicorn Award that year. It was Wayne Parker Kent. It was one of the most innovative companies back then in content marketing. So they created.
So you learned content marketing at that point, right?
Yeah. So they were the best in building brands online.
Tell maybe our listeners, what did you learn about this content marketing? What is the one thing where you say, hey, content marketing, this is one thing you have to pay attention to?
Yeah, back then it was, that's a big thing. But content marketing, back then
it's still important.
It's holistic, to be holistic. Eh? Yeah. And to be as organically as possible. And that was the whole idea, to spend as less as possible and to always look for the low-hanging fruit in marketing or in possibilities. Where is your audience? How can I find this audience in the most cheap way? That's what we did back then. And it was very innovative. So we started storytelling by making native content. It was content telling a story without really pushing your brand.
So you did this. So you take your own story, you make it authentic. It's like, maybe also one question I have during, because your whole story, it's very authentic and it's a great family story. So yeah. there is a lot of things to tell, and a Greek story, which is even more. So at what point did you realize that trust was really a critical factor in reaching your audience and converting, basically letting people buy this olive oil?
Yeah, but this is what the trust is exactly what our company is about. Huh. Our family name, showing the people that our family brings an honest family product to the Netherlands, or at the moment in the Benelux, or even Germany, England, is that telling the people all the time the story about, hey, if you buy our product, our family stands for this product. Our family makes sure that what you buy and what you think you buy is what you get, and even better, for a fair price. And this is what our company is all about, telling the people, showing the people as that our brand is like a stamp, and this stuff is okay.
I think this is really the core thing, and so let's break it then step by step.
Yeah.
What if you have that story. Now, how did you manage to convey that story through the various channel you're looking? So we're looking at a website, you created a website, you tell the story, you have social channels, you have marketing channels. Tell us a little bit more, how do you do that very concretely?
Very concretely is that I started at this publisher, Wayne Parker Kent, and there were this 20 online magazines, so that had a lot of reach. And one of them, for instance, was Culi.nl. It was a culinary website with a lot of culinary followers. So back then, I started working there with the idea, okay, I can learn a lot from these people, how to tell my story, how to build my online brand. Because offline, we had the brand ready, but now we were
moving
ready for the next
online world. Okay.
Online world, and to do it not like the others, no, to do it the best way possible. So I started, I worked there 5 days a week, and in the evenings and in the weekends, I started arranging the people around me that were working at the same company to build my website. And in the meantime, we create a brand movie. The brand movie that shows that our family went to Crete to get the product ourselves, to harvest the olive oil, to fill up the olive oil, to bring the olive oil directly from there. We showed it to the Netherlands that our family stands for quality, and we bring it directly from there to the Netherlands. So this movie we launched back then with a new, with a website built by my
by
colleagues,
your team.
My team back then that I was managing in the evenings and
so
the
it
weekends.
Was really also not an external agency. It was your agency, basically.
No. I was working at that agency.
You were working at that agency.
And they, the people around me, they liked me and they wanted to help me. So this is how it all started. This is how we went live with our brand identity, with our story, our family story. And then we made a movie about that showed our story in 1.5 minutes or 2 minutes. And this movie, we launched at one point with our brand, really nice looking brand identity, with our family story. And it got picked up by a lot of newspapers. So this was like, this was in 2016, I think, the moment that, okay, this is our life going. This
the
is
start of the start of the brand and building the brand, basically.
The storytelling,
in the Tolly setting.
Yeah,
okay.
And then back then, because I was working at the, at this agency, Wayne Parker Kent, this online publisher with all these brands, with all these magazines, it got picked up by nationally. So we went, we found our audience, within 1-2 months, and we were in a lot of newspapers. And this is our first, has been our first launch, was what made us successful in the at one point.
So it's really the power of that authentic story, or your story, your family story, supported by evidence that this is how it works, and make it transparent to the world. You convey that, and people picked up, and you picked up. I was listening to what you just said and say, okay, you picked up also a channel with those newspaper or these magazines which were really highly related to your product. So interestingly enough, using the story to disseminate that brand in the various channels coming. And this is where things start to pick that up. How do you use this power and this initial push, I would say, on the trend to continue to develop your brand? And also, because I can imagine it's not only selling online, it's also selling via distribution channel, etc. How do you do that?
Yeah, so we created the buzz, and then the bigger distributors started noticing. So we start knocking on the door at the bigger distributors, and also telling them, hey, we started visiting all these stores directly, independent stores. And we were knocking on their door and we said, hey, we are already in 50 stores. I think it would be a good moment to put our product in your catalog.
In your catalog.
And this is how it started rolling. So we started with one distributor and the 50 stores became 200. And then we started knocking on the other distributor, because we were, of course, we had a sales team, and we were, and me too. We went visiting those stores with our car full with olive oil, and we were not allowed to come back until it was empty.
Everything was empty.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy. Now we are in 2,500-3,000 shops, but I've been driving to Belgium with a big van, and my brother as well, two vans.
Okay.
And we were the first one who had it empty. It was a competition. And we just booked the Airbnbs, and we just stayed there until the car was empty.
Yes.
And we just left the olive oil. And I think 20% of the customers didn't even pay the invoice. We didn't care. We just went.
You just wanted to
Push it there, put it in the stores, make sure it got, make sure that the shop owners became our ambassadors.
Yes.
To give them samples, to show their customers our story. And this is what it's all about. The difference of in our olive oil, the quality, is the story behind it.
Yeah.
We need to explain why you should buy our product, and why it's maybe a little bit more expensive than the falsified stuff.
Exactly. This high quality. How are you using currently the channels, like social media channels, to propagate your story, and how do you do that, if you do?
Yeah, we, so next to the, that's another story, but next to our company Gazas, we founded a marketing agency. Mm-hmm. And this agency is constantly checking innovative ways of telling our story organically, as organically as possible. So we have an holistic view. We think offline, we think online, we do tastings, we do email gathering, we do social media, YouTube, Pinterest, we have.
What would be your recommendation to our listener, right? If you say, okay, you have, I can only do one thing with the, I've got a great story, yeah, and I want to tell my story. What would be, in your opinion, the best channel for them to work with and disseminate that story today?
Yeah, in Europe at the moment, still, you first need a website.
Yeah.
A website that works well. I mean, this is always the painful thing, is like, okay, how are you going to finance this website? So you will need a website where you can
tell your story in details
and where you can have campaigns and where you can bring your audience to. So this is in my case, you know, you need a good brand identity and you need to pay for that. You need to have a good story in the first place, a strategic idea. What story am I going to tell? If you have product market fit, of course, with your product, then you think about what story I'm going to tell to penetrate the market. And then you need a place where you can get this story combined in various ways for various people, different audiences, to get the traffic to your website on different spots. This is the first thing. As soon as you have this settled, then you start thinking about, okay, how am I going to get this traffic there? And this is the next step. What kind of content am I going to create? For what kind of audiences, and make sure that they find what they're looking for on your website. Yeah.
Are you using things like Instagram or TikTok of such channels to drive more traffic to your website?
Yeah, we use everything. We use YouTube. We use Pinterest. We use TikTok, Snapchat, LinkedIn. For me personally as well, I'm telling stories there on my own. So we think about every possible way, with the low hanging fruit first. Where is our audience?
Yeah.
And we try to share at Twitter.
How do you structure your day for somebody say, oh, Floris, I mean, you're really working all the time. If we hear you, do you have a structure, an idea on how do you do that in order to make sure, okay, on Pinterest, on TikTok, on LinkedIn, we have to put, you know, and to push that content and tell the story. How do you do that concretely?
Yeah, this has been a struggle for the past 10 years, of course.
Okay.
To get sequence, to get consistency.
A rhythm?
Yeah, rhythm, of course. And that's why I started this marketing agency. So at the moment, I'm not even involved anymore in creating this content.
Okay,
I check it. And yeah. My ideas, I throw them in the machine.
In the funnel.
In the machine I built. So I'm lucky that I managed to build that machine, my marketing machine and my sales team. And it was not easy. To keep it alive, to keep it going. But now I have ideas. We have ideas. We throw it in the machine with copywriters, with designers, with developers. And we think about a way, the newest possible ways, the most innovative possible ways to get it to the audience. So my LinkedIn content, so the story I want to tell, I have some kind of, I'm searching for the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And also to get to explain others, so where I'm at and why I'm doing what I'm doing, to maybe they can learn something from it. So this is my personal way of telling a story, and to reach my own audience, to get people to know what I'm doing, but also what my company, Gazas Oliver. This is an example of the content we create. But on Instagram, for instance, we create a feed for 2-3 months on the basis of the content we have created in its various campaigns. So we make a feed for 3 months, we create captions, we discuss it, and then we make a plan of when what to post. So it's all very structured. And what's on Instagram, we also share, maybe a little bit different on LinkedIn or on Pinterest or on Facebook or on Twitter. So every platform has its own way of communicating. And then you have YouTube to make shorts, to make longs. Yeah,
so it's really to figure out for yourself maybe the platform that works well. And I hear you have a highly structured way to do it, to make sure that it's happening. And I hear also you do that on a very regular basis to make sure that this is not just, I'm doing that one, you know, 1 week and then 2 months, no, nothing, and it's coming up. This is really the regular and the systematic way.
Consistency drives success. And if you start a business, don't think you will make it in 1 or 2 or 3 years. No. Yeah. If there's product market fit, if you believe in it, if you have the passion, then keep going. Keep going and keep consistent.
Of course, we're doing, I mean, everybody made mistakes along the way. And if there is one thing you would wish to have done differently, what would it be?
Yeah, that's very difficult because I had my olive oil business. I had my marketing agency and other companies came to us. Hey, can you do stuff for us? And I put a lot of energy in investing in other companies around me and also money. But if I wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't have been here where I'm now. So I'm pretty happy with what but it cost me a lot of energy and also some money that I was actually, dividing my focus.
Yeah.
So. It would have been good, I think, to at some points that I kept my focus a little bit more. So I think if you believe in your product, if there's passion and if there's product market fit, then try to focus as much as possible and try to always think. So does my choice at the moment and strengthens my goal, where my focus, where my passion is. That's always a good thing to question yourself, you know.
And also because I hear, I mean, you have done incredible, it was a lot of effort and a lot of passion which went into this, and we hear that when you're talking about that. And of course it's, and you speak about focus, and I think I can speak for many online stores and online store owner who starts a business at the very beginning. It can be really daunting. And you need to know yourself and know your limit.
Yeah.
And can you tell us how you deal with that currently to make sure you get that focus and you're not get
distracted.
Stretch also too thin over the many, many tasks you are seeing today?
Yeah, I just use the strength I have, you know, for the most important stuff. That's where I'm at now, and I try to delegate stuff. But that's also necessary. So, yeah, when I was younger, I was maybe also a little bit stronger. I was more naive. So it happened, and I learned a lot from it. So I don't really regret it, but it could have been nice that I would have had a little bit more focus. But now, how I structure that is. We work in Scrum two weeks planning with our marketing agency. So in the world we live in now, going so fast, these developments, it's always prioritizing what's most important right now and start working on that and just keep on going. And then check with the team keep prioritizing, and stuff that stays on the backlog, you know, stuff that is not important enough, it eventually will fade away. So focus on the most important stuff you need to do. Don't stress out. You can do, you do everything you can. Make it your best. Make sure you're not too stressed and overdo it. And of course, my story is how I keep up with this is I don't drink. I sport a lot. I eat very healthy. I'm very cautious, very conscious about where do I use my energy for. And the most important thing is for yourself to set your dreams. If you want to accomplish your dreams, you need to set goals, and everything that comes in between that goals, like for me, drinking or eating unhealthy, it would be take too much energy for me to. It will be in between me and my goals and my dreams. So for me, it's...
So you're very disciplined about what you do. And of course, you got that great olive oil you can use every day. I mean, we know the Mediterranean kitchen is very, very healthy. And I remember the other day I was talking to people living in Sardinian.
Yeah.
And there is a spot where people are getting regularly over 100.
Yeah, it's like Icaria. And this is the island where they forget to die, they say.
Forget to
and die. This is because they don't drink a lot of alcohol, and when you drink it, they drink their own raki and wine. Yeah, okay, yeah. There's always one or two a day is not a problem. Yeah. They eat not too much meat, but when they eat meat, they eat meat from their own goats that live in the out open, and they don't eat too much sugar. So they when they eat, sure, it's mostly honey. And it's fresh vegetables mostly, and peel, how you call them? Lentils. And it's a pure life. No stress, eh?
No stress. Exactly. So if you have, for our online retailers listening today, what's the one action they can take right now to improve their business from your point of view? What's the thing they need to do today?
Yeah. Then I would say make sure your website is fast and is and you invest in your website.
And of course trustworthy.
And trustworthy, yeah. Of course, because when it's fast, when it looks nice, and when it has the Trusted Shops logo on it, you know, people will think, okay, this is the real deal. And then when the story is clear, and the story is different, of course, there's a main story, but the story is different for every visitor, because you have audiences from people that are 25 and audiences of people that are 70, and they look for different reasons to buy the product. But I think if you're at the moment in Europe, and I think in Asia, it's already different because they're moving more to social media and people buying from there on the basis of influencers that tell them to buy it. But in Europe still, I think having a fast, amazing website that works really well.
We'll tell your
2025, story. To tell your story in the right way to different audiences. This is important.
Super. Thank you so much, Floris, for this meraki, for this passion, and for your experience about and telling your experience and sharing your story with us today, because I think this is really inspiring to see, you know, how you are very clearly and very consistently created this business, which is rooted in your family with a great product. And I think for many listeners today, this is, I think, an inspiration to see how you did that and how to move forward. So that's a wrap today.
Thank you.
A wrap for this episode of Community of Trust. We hope you're walking away with practical and real-world strategy, as Floris was telling you today, you can apply for your own business. And if you enjoyed this episode, of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave a review, because reviews are, of course, we didn't talk that today, but reviews are something what we call the currency of trust. You know, so it helps us to reach more merchants like you. And of course, for more insights and trusted resources, visit trustedshops.com. And maybe, Floris, if people want to learn more about you, so gazash.com, yeah. Right?
GKAZAS.com.
Super, super. So thank you for listening. And until next time, and please keep building trust and growing your business. So thank you so much, Floris, for being today our guest at Community of Trust.
It was an honor.
Super. Thank you.